overcast in Los Angeles this morning, on this Saturday morning, August the 25th, 2018, in the Lucy Coleman studio in Los Angeles, in the United States of America. Ah, there's my little dog running around, having a good time. Thank you. Good morning, Harcourt. How you doing? Oh, Mario must be trying to squeeze your snout. Thanks for joining me for a webcast. Listen, got something special. I found a nice little tape here, and it's a Strengthening Family Ties. This was way back in March the 3rd, 1996, as preached at the Vet. It was a message for the mind from Proverbs 3, 1 through 4. I think I have some introductory statements that you would find interesting, and as you compare them to the year 2018. As a matter of fact, I was out at a friend of mine's home last evening to his mother's birthday party. She's 82 years old. And a lot of her friends that are still alive were there. And I had a chance to speak with practically all of them. And I was noticing some very, relationships between siblings and family. And I thought about when I got back to the studio that I was going to have to do some digging around and find something that would make sense to me. But before we get into that, I want to play some music for you. And I got a great little album here. And I want you to listen again. I want to thank Ben Peterson for that old feeling. And remember, on Wednesdays I'm going to be playing jazz, and we're going to be playing Ben Peterson's theme, Hard Times, that was written by David Fathead Newman. Yeah, way back. And I want to thank Ben again for that album. But today we're going to feature these little snippets from this sermon. I'm not going to play the whole thing. It's a point that I want to get through. Willie Jones III, The Next Phase, is the name of this album. Really, it's a great album, collaborated by some of the finest jazz musicians that are around today, and a very dear friend of mine, Eric Reed, on the piano. And I was listening to the album in the studio this morning, and I said, this is a very nice piece of music. It really is, and I like it so much. I want to find just the right music to play for you, and I'm thinking that let me play cut number 6 on this album called Another Time. And it was written by Eric Reed, and I haven't heard it in a while, and so it's going to be nice for me to play this number for you. And then we're going to enter into some comments as I get into this message for the mind, because our families are shot. Our families are tore the hell up. I mean, man, you know what? I read in the Bible years ago, and the Bible says that Jesus is coming back when he sees that brothers will be against brothers, mothers against fathers, fathers against wives. And I'm telling you, we're just living in a sad, sad time. Not only will black and white folk won't get together, we can't even decently respect one another. And I'm telling you, unless Love Supreme, I ought to be playing John Coltrane's Love Supreme. That's what I ought to do. Unless Love Supreme reigns supreme in our hearts, we're going to lose this thing. We're going to lose this thing. You got to know that. Now, let me stop playing, and let me set up this cut. I want you to listen to it, and then we're going to Another Time, I believe it is. Number 6, I'm going to play Another Time, and then we will get right into the message after this number. Eric Reed leading the group on the piano. Enjoy. Enjoy.
that thing, man. That's it.
Warren Wolf on the vibes. Desron Douglas on the bass. Eric Reed on the piano. Willie Jones on the drums. Listen to that boy play, eh? Oh boy, play.
Dealt with the past two times we met with seeing how boys graduate from boys to men. Then we looked at last time two women in the Bible that I think are indicative of females. And now what we're going to do is we're going to spend a little time this morning becoming parents, and I think it indicative since you have your children, some of them at least, sitting with you, as we look at this issue of a message for the mind. I'm going to quote from some writers from our culture before we get into our main text of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and I'd like you to listen, especially you youngsters, pay close attention to what some of the writers of our culture says about you young people. Richard Wright, he died in France, he says, "Youth is the turning point of life, the most sensitive and volatile period, the state that registers most vividly the impressions and the experience of life. It is when your young people are young that God writes on their brains and records what they will be for the rest of their lives. It happens when they're young. It does not happen after they're 10, 11, and 12. It's too late. It's too late. What's written on their minds is written when they're 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. Then it's over. Another has said, "Instruction in youth is like engraving in stone. Instruction in young people is like engraving in stone. It's set, fixed, solid." Jesus, this is... "Every impression, every sound, every vision, everything that happens in them is like you carving in stone. It's engraved. It's like the cornerstone when you leave the church and you look at it. There's names on there that some of you folk have never heard of before. That cornerstone remains fixed." I.A. Newby, he wrote a treatise on the history, on the historians and Negroes, A Journey of Negro History. This was written January 1969. Listen to what he says. And I want you Hispanics to also listen very closely, because you are in the same situation. Listen. "Black youth are in need of a secure sense of personal identity." I would also say Hispanic youth. "We do not have a sense of who we are. Your young people don't know who they are." Listen to me. Then it goes on, it says, "Self-confidence and racial pride." They don't know that either. "A racial minority in a society which deals harshly with them, they are too often unable to articulate satisfactorily the answers to the questions, who am I? What is my group identity? What is my racial heritage?" You heard what went on at Locke High this week. Beautiful high school. 50% Hispanic, 50% black. What's wrong with us? We do not have a sense of who we are and what we are all about. And what it comes down to, the bottom line, is destruction within our communities. Many are questioning these kinds of statements these days. Does it really matter in the life of the minority saints, black or Hispanic or Asian or white? I'm going to tell the ones that are questioning, oh yes, it does. If a young man, if a young woman does not know who they are, even in Christ, you better hear me. You you can be just as saved and have all the Word of God in your hearts, in your minds, in your soul. But when you look in that mirror and you don't know what you got up for, there's a problem. I got youngsters that don't know what they woke up for this morning. They don't know what tomorrow's going to be like, and it's going to be hell. You hear me? It's going to be hell on them. Because if they woke up this morning and don't know what they woke up for, and got the Bible. Coleman Young, you know who he was, or he is. He wrote for the Detroit News, April 22nd, 1988. Listen. I was young, and I'm quoting him, I was young and I learned by listening to my elders and by drawing my own conclusions through experience. This man said, I learned by listening to my elders and then drawing my own conclusions after listening to my elders through my own personal experience. I personally have a problem with that. Because if Coleman was listening to the wrong voices from his elders, then the conclusions that he's drawn are wrong. Black folk talking in our community. The question is, does that always work? No, it doesn't. And sometimes our youth learn from listening and viewing their elders. And they draw their own conclusions after listening to you and me. And remember, it's engraved in their hearts first and then in their minds and deeply rooted in their souls, and they develop what they call and what we see as identity. And minority folk in our community are in an identity crisis today. When blacks and Hispanics want to kill each other, that doesn't make any sense at all. None. When you look at our backgrounds and trying to survive in a difficult society. Follow along with me. Ozzie Davis, you know who that is. It's on us, he wrote in the City Arts Quarterly, and he says, if we can reach young people's minds deep enough, we can teach young minds deep enough so that they will change the negative concept that they have of themselves, from which most of the negative social consequences flow. Ozzy means well. He's a brilliant black actor. He and his wife, Ruby Dee. Everything that they do is in trying to bring a consciousness to face reality in a society that has totally lost its way. But I believe that he means well. But the problem with this is that we as people must realize that without Jesus Christ, the crises persist. Oh, you can try to get into the mind. But I am a Christian. And I'm looking at my young people. And we can give them all the food, all the clothes, all the money, all the lands, all the cars, all the shoes, all the everything. Unless there's something on the inside that governs all of that that God has given. It's crises, crises, crises. The Joys of Motherhood, an African lady wrote in 1979, all young people are the same, she says. They never imagined that they would get old. Yeah. You see, young folk, I was once young. I sat where you're sitting now. I used to sit in the church that I'm pastoring now when it was turned around on 35th Street. And I used to listen to sermons and laugh and chew gum all through the service. I had no idea that I would grow up, because when I'm young, it feels too good. to get serious. Yeah. Yeah. Now you don't get serious and you don't survive. And your parents have fixated some foolishness in your brains. And they still spin like they don't know what they're doing. And they give you too much. They give you too much. A television in all their rooms. Too many pair of tennis shoes. I looked in the young boy's closet yesterday. He had all them pretty shirts hanging up there. The first thing that I said to the teenagers, you got too much. You got too much of a choice to make. And you didn't have to pay nothing. I remember when it was Sunday go to meeting time, that's the only time you wore some good shoes. Amen? Because you didn't have nothing all week long. Now they can put on anything they want. Tony Evans, in his book, America's Only Hope, page 140, it was written in 1990. This is what he says. He says, home is where children learn how to live and to fulfill their God-given responsibilities. He goes on and says that home is where children learn how they will influence society in positive biblical ways. Tony, you meant well. You really mean well, Tony. You write so nice. Kind of rolls off the tongue with no kind of work. Tony, they're not learning nothing in their homes like that. He goes on, for the family to fill its role of training and to make a divine impact in history, it must abide by the authority structure that God has established for it. Tony, it rolls off so nice. Man, your book is a great treatise. I read it all the time. I do research when I work on strengthening family ties. But there's a problem, Tony. There's a problem with what you're saying. It is not taking place in our homes. Needless to say, I'm in full agreement with Tony. And that I am only interested in what Christians have to say when the final tally is taken. I respect Richard Wright, I.E. Newby, Coleman Young, Ossie Davis, and Tony Evans. But I respect the person that's going to speak towards something that's going to give my family and my society and my babies life. One can read all these words, and you can coin all the most eloquent phrases. You can have the best intentions in the world. Rather, I think that since we're here this morning and we're in this place and we're all a captive audience by God, what we ought to do is listen to God speak. That's the inspiration that we get from strengthening our family ties. C.H. Spurgeon wrote on truth, and he says, say some tell us how to discern truth. You may judge it by three things, Spurgeon says, by God and by Christ and by man. That is the truth which honors God. When you speak about your young people, listen to people that speak about truth which honors God. Then he goes on and talks about that truth which glorifies Christ. In other words, if the truth is...
Now, we had a little technical break right there, but as you can see by listening to this thus far, I was very serious back in the day. Let me give you the year again. This was 1996, March 3rd, 1996. And at that time, the gang wars were sprouting up in Los Angeles. The Hispanics against the blacks. During that time, the Hispanic gangs in prison was talking about... That was the time when they had the shootings on the freeway. Young black men would be in their cars, and somebody would shoot in the car and kill him, and he'd run him off. to roll away. And so it bothered me tremendously. And that's why I did this sermon. And at that time, we had quite a few number of Hispanic families coming into our church. That's when the church was becoming black and Hispanic. That was my idea, my vision, my dream. That's what I wanted to do. If anything, I wanted to bring these two cultures. I wanted to take that light chocolate with the dark chocolate and blend it in and have a nice molcom mix of members. I just had that in my heart because I knew that that would bless our community. Unfortunately, and I'm not going to get into the politics of that, the older black guys in the church didn't want that. They wanted an all-black thing, you know. Bring in the black singers, come on, this isn't a hip-hop show. But there was a technical difficulty while I was giving my introduction, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue to play this, and I'm going to hope that you can hear it very clear. Let's see. Here we go.
Take the mind before we even get into our text. Some questions that will stimulate your mind.
Good.
Would it not be right in stating that too often the church has listened to the world when it comes to the issues concerning our families and our youth? And the church would say, yes.
Right.
We have a tendency, young people, to listen to people that don't know the foggiest idea about how to do life. Oh, they know how to build a freeway system. They know how to get you to pay your taxes. They know how to, you know, build buildings and aqueducts and send, you know, a TV signal from the top of Mount Baldy into your bedroom, but they don't know how to get you through life. Also, would it be right to state that we need to become bolder in our approach as we defend the biblical standard if it is only in doing such that our young people should gain the opportunity to challenge the very ungodly society they live in? And the answer is yes. You need to prepare your young people when you die, adult, when you're dead, and they've taken the inheritance that you've left them, you need to prepare them to make it in the 21st century. And if you cannot die today knowing that your child can do that, you are a failure as a parent or a guardian. And if you ain't making it, what you doing sitting up in this room claiming Christ as Lord and having those kinds of conflicts? You are listening to the world. That's what it is. Would it be right to see that if we do not take this approach, that compromise becomes the way to deal with truth, which becomes relative to our young people? Our young people will see you and me. Well, it doesn't work anymore. The day and age, John, you live in it, don't work that way no more.
Now, you may be saying to yourself, This boy not preaching. This boy's up here standing up there talking to me about how to raise my children. Well, what in the Hades do you think a pastor is supposed to do when he gets up there? Now, let's lay this thing straight here in the year 2018, because, see, I don't go to church no more. I refuse to go to those places because when you see what these so-called pastors are doing today, and those of you that are listening to me, I want you to listen good, because you see, you have been taken advantage of. Look at your children and look at your grandchildren. I mean, gosh darn it, what happened? There was a time when our children would never talk back to us. There was a time that our children would never engage in a conversation when grown people are having one, unless the conversation was about them. There was a time when our children, and I'm talking about children 9, 10, 12, 13, 14 years old, would have nothing to say about what car daddy bought or what house mama wanted to live in or what kind of food was put on the table, especially if they didn't garner an attitude about purchasing something themselves. There was a time. Now, the parent can't rightly do anything because the child is screaming in their ears. So here I am way back in that date, 1996 now, trying to tell these people, if you want to strengthen your family, you'd better take hold of the reins and take control of that stagecoach because it is running out of control. And now, unfortunately, I have to look to the city of Chicago. That is not a phenomenon. You know what that is? That is daddies ran the hell off. Daddies left the mommies. Mommies, why did they leave? What did you do? See, we have to put it where it lies. I was having a conversation with a lot of people a lot older than myself. They were in their 80s celebrating this lady's birthday. And we were talking about that a little bit. And they're all relishing in, I guess, their retirement and living nicely and everything. But when I think of their children and I see what's happening, and that's why I came to the studio and I looked up this tape and I said, nah, I've spoken about that. Now, hey, thus far in this message, I haven't even quoted the Bible yet. I am preaching. This is preaching. This is the pastor attempting to reach the minds of the congregants who are asleep in their pews, though wide awake. Because during this time, back in the 90s, it was about give them whatever they want. Buy them the Nikes. Get them this, get them that, let them be popular, just let them do whatever they want to do, let them find themselves. Now, I'm not a hard guy. I know that youth has to have some freedom. Don't get me wrong. They have to have freedom of expression, of how they discover who they are, what they want to do, and where they want to go, but they need to be guided by wisdom. And materialism never has been the way in our community. Because I dare to say that the shooting down of people in the streets of Chicago has nothing to do with how much money is in the wallet of the lad that hit the concrete. In most cases, they don't even know the people. But why would a person drive down the street indiscriminately and do something like that? You may say, well, John, if they listen to you, you know our people aren't going to listen to a lecture on a Sunday morning in a warm building. I don't know why not. What do you think college is all about?
When your young people hear you talking that way, and when they see you living that way, guess what they're going to do? It's embedded in their mind that nothing works anymore, so nothing's worth anything. And then your young people live any kind of way they want to live.
Right.
So we get in that. Would it be right to say, my friend, to state very loud and clear that God's word has spoken to the issue that is set before us today, and his word always provides something for us. Now, there's a glance at our text, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4.
Now, I'm just now getting into the text, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If you have a Bible, you can pause this thing because you're on a browser now, you're on a computer. You can pause this. Pause it. At this time, you ought to be picking up that Bible, going to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4. Because since I'm going to comment and give you some comment about this, it is your responsibility to follow suit, to check me out, to see if I'm lying to you or telling you the truth. A lot of you are saying, John, why are you still doing this after you've been kicked out of the church? And because I'm trying to wake you up. You're still asleep. And you know what's happening? When you sleep and light is all around you, the light is leading you to the path out. See, I'm not trying to get you to join church and become religious or give 10% of anything. Hold on to your money and hold on to your wife, brother, if she's a fine-looking woman, because these scoundrels behind the pulpit now. I was talking to a couple there, George and his dear wife, and I just spilled the beans about me a little bit, told them about who I am and the journey that I went through in being a pastor of a church. Because at this birthday party was another pastor. And they had a guy there playing a jazz piano, playing the old Motown hits and everything. And so this AME pastor and myself, we went up to the microphone and to the instrumentalist, and we started singing along. I'll never forget, because I told this pastor, I said, man, I'm retired. I don't even do that anymore. And you know what he said to me? Brother looked at me and he said, don't stop preaching. I just tell people to go to my website. I wouldn't dare waste my time trying to... See, if you're serious, you're going to come to my website and you're going to listen to as much of this stuff as you can. And in a bit, it's going to help your heart. It's going to help you come to your senses. See, that's why I do what I do. Because I'm not going to ask for your tenth, your tithe, the money you make. You don't have to get up and leave your house. You can play this, like I was telling my new friend George, you can play this in your car, man. You can be driving from one place to the other and poke me in that thing and play it. And it's just like I'm sitting right in your car with you, talking to you, reasoning with you. What did the Bible say? Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, God said, I'll make them white like snow. And it don't mean that white people are better than red people, okay? The use of colors is just an analogy of one opposite from the next. But when you look at our families today, we've had it. Now let me see what I did with that text.
See what God says, and after I read this, what I propose to do before you this morning is to become the parent of parents and plead my cause before my young people.
Ah, so in this message, I'm going to become the parent of parents and plead my cause before the young people. Why am I doing that? Because I was saying to the parents that were sitting in front of me, you ain't doing diddly squat, but playing. My gosh, those people used to bring their children to church and try to weigh their children better than anybody else's. I used to tell Lucy, keep our daughters in the background. Don't let them get up and say anything. I even told my wife, don't you stand up and say anything. And I don't know why the sisters in the church was ragging on my wife. Because my wife loved me. She didn't love nobody else but me and them girls. And I used to get on Lucy's case about that. Because she was just as bad as the church members. But, you know, the human stain, you know how that is. Let me see if I compare this thing right.
So that my young people will understand that God has said and His word will come to pass regardless of what has been engraved on your minds. Regardless, young people, of what you've heard this last week, regardless of what you've seen this morning, it's all a lie. God has said you can survive in the 21st century. Don't look at a parent who does not believe it yet. Because they will destroy you every minute of the day.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Did you hear that? I told the young people, you will survive in the 21st century. This is a classic message. And did you hear the anger in my voice? I was outraged. Outraged. I would go to the Bible study in the middle of the week and ask the parents, can we do anything to sustain our child's life? Can we guarantee that they're going to have an option in life instead of out of life? And they would just sit there and look at me like doofuses. It was the sorriest thing that you've ever seen in your life. And I was crazy enough to tell them, that's what I saw.
I got young folk that can believe God, and I got Bible to prove that it's true, because old folks didn't thousands of years ago, and young folk got to be the only folk with faith.
Wow. That's an angry pastor. That's what you're listening to. An angry man. An angry man in 1996. And I'm telling you, I think that was about right before. I'm not sure whether we had gone to the place on 95th and Broadway or not, but we were getting ready to make the move. I should have never pushed that program.
My grandchildren were walking around here, but maybe it's not quite so anymore. Let's see what the word says. My son! Oh man, listen to this parent.
Listen.
Do not forget my teaching. That exempts you from listening to anybody else.
Yes.
But let your heart keep my commandments.
Yes.
Why? For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you, young person. Because you see, young person, you're born with that in you. The capacity to be kind and to tell truth is yours until you see what your parents do.
Jeez.
And what adults do. And what the world does. And then you distort it. Look what it says.
I'm sorry that the sound is so bad, but this, I found these old cassette tapes, and I just, you know, I feel a compulsion to put them up on the internet, and so you may have to listen very closely. The tapes are very, very old, and I'm trying to put up as much stuff as I can before I pass away, because I'm going to tell you, there needs to be a historical documented record of why black folk in this country. Now look, I know that our ancestors were ripped out of our own countries and where we came from and brought over here as slaves, literally. And some of us are still slaving. And my God, when I look at the news today, did you know that some of these white nations are still enslaving black people? I saw something yesterday on the internet where it had black men lined up, and they said these are being sold as slaves. These people are so hungry in other countries, they are indenturing themselves as slaves for a meal. And then these so-called westernized nations, of which this country is a part of, a bunch of bull crap, nobody saying anything, and then they got you focused on a damn football game on Sunday, whether somebody's going to stand up or take a knee for this flag. You know what? You need to listen to the rest of this thing here.
Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart.
That's right.
Look at verse 4.
Yeah.
So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God first, and then count out man.
Yes.
Now, we will deal with this exegetically.
Now, let me deal with this exegetically. Let me say this right now. Because when I got through preaching that sermon, I remember that Sunday, a couple of the deacons came up to me and they said, Pastor, some of the people was offended. Listen at this, man. Some of the people was offended at how you was preaching. You know, right there I should have quit. I should have quit. But you never quit when you're doing something legit. See what I mean? When you're doing something legitimately, when you're doing something with a heartfelt nurture to love people, you don't quit because these people turn against you. Those of you that thank you, pastors, if your people not coming against you to try to crucify you, you ain't pastoring. You up there hawking for a dollar. Well, now let's listen to the rest of this.
But I must become your papa.
Can I have that?
I'm your parent. You listen to me.
Now what I did, I was standing at the pulpit and I had on my preaching robe and I said, now I'm going to have to become your papa. Because when I was facing the congregation and all the teens and all of them were in there, I made a full 360 degree turn. I turned in a circle because I said, I've got to become your papa. And then I turned, and then when I was facing a packed church, the congregation, I begin to say these words. Listen. And these youngsters that were teenagers are now grown. The ones that are still alive and come to my website, they're going to hear this. And I hope that they remember this. And some of them have children of their own now. And God only, and a lot of them are dead. A lot of them are dead. I have gone to funerals of children that were in that church, died, and their parents were, just listen to me when I became their papa.
I know what you're confronted with today. I know what you're confronted with this afternoon. I know what you're confronted with tonight. But I'm your parent, and I'm your guardian, and I'm going to show concern by addressing you, the younger. My son, do not forget my teaching. It is apparent that I, your parent, at this point, I have something of value to share with you young people.
What I was doing is I was trying to give the parent an example, if you will, of how to speak to their children. You know, you first of all, you have to love them. Draw them close to you. They're your seed. They're your offspring. And I was, you know, people, did you ever whip your children? I think I recall spanking my little daughters maybe once in their lives. And just a little tap, tap, tap on the wrist or something like that. I never had to pull off a strap and beat them or switch and leave marks on them. Once I gave Leslie a good strapping because she spoke back at me. She said, no, no. I mean, she was, and I said, you going to talk to your daddy like that? Oh, no, you're not. And when I got finished with her, she knew that she wasn't to talk back to me like that. But see, you have to start that behavior when they're down there between 4 and 5. And I'm not talking about leaving marks and breaking bones. I'm just talking about breaking that will, not their spirit. Because a lot of parents break the child's spirit. There's a difference between their will not coinciding with yours. See, that's why a lot of people look at these fundamentalists and these evangelicals that's going around beating their children, locking them up in basements and tying them up in the closet and stuff like that. Well, no, you need to go to prison and have your head whooped for doing stuff like that. I am talking about corporal punishment that young people need to experience. I was looking at something on my computer the other day, a basic training. They, you know, have a basic training thing and where they have those youngsters in there, and the drill sergeants is telling them how to act. And I was saying to a person that was here, and I said, see, that's the way they did us, but they did us harder than that. Man, if you smile and didn't look at them and stuff, man, they knock you down. We didn't get up and try to fight the sergeant back. But with this feminized society that we live in now, as it was pointed out to me, the sergeants won't even strike you down. Back in the day, you knew better than to well them up. And that's why our children are out of hand today. Because men have become so feminized, they're apologizing for taking a bowel movement.
I want to have a relationship with you because you will not be able to hear unless you enter into a relationship with me.
Right.
You are my sons, you are my daughters, you will listen to me because I want to have a relationship with young persons. I'm not too busy on my job to talk with you this morning. I'm not too busy with my world trying to do my thing. Forget my thing. Your thing has become my thing.
That's right.
See, you my child and I'm your parent. And so when you come in my room, whatever hour of the night, I'm there to talk to you, to hug you, to listen to you, to look at you, to understand you, to empathize with you, to feel for you, to cry with you, to laugh with you, to embrace you, to hug you, to kiss you, because that's all you need. So therefore, don't you forget my teaching. I'm the older. I'm taking the initiative. I'm the one doing the contacting. So it tells me in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8, If I can just turn a few pages, it says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." I am your father. I am your mother. You can call me by my nickname. It's called wisdom. I've been around a little bit. I know the way the world runs. It will always run the same way. Oh, it's not like these modern era people that think that everything's going to be all right. It's not going to be all right. Yes, young person, you're all right. So you listen to me. Now, what I'm trying to do, young person, is I'm demonstrating that the communicative process is a family concern. I'm talking with you because I love you.
Let me break in right now and share this with you. I was on the way home last night from the birthday party. And I was near my home, and I was coming down the street that a dear friend of mine used to walk down when he would come to visit me from his apartment. And I thought about him. And I thought about his children. I thought about his wife. He's no longer with us. And I thought about his demise. And I uttered his name in my car. I uttered his name. And I remember the Sundays that he would hear these messages, these very words. And I recall the conversations that I had with him concerning these words, his children, his guidance, his wisdom. And I said, "It's up to you, man. If your children are to become anything, it's because of the driving force of the parent in their lives." Well, he's no longer with us. And I know his children. And I know of his family. And I'm sorry. I'm not gonna lie about this. His end was not pretty. And I'm wondering why anyone, and that's why I'm playing this for you guys out there, because you guys that are listening to me, I don't know who you are. I'll probably never see you, and I'm glad. You know what? Thank God I'm recovering from this open heart surgery, because I got to talk with some of you people out there. You're playing with your children's lives. You're playing with it. I was looking at the computer here last week, because that's all I have time to do. I'm no longer working or employed. I just go to the news thing, and, well, let me see what they're doing. Someone had taped the earthquake in Haiti while it was taking place. And it was showing the Haitian people in the common street as the aftershocks came. And the people were screaming and running with their children. Their shanty huts were knocked down. And to this date, no world aid has come to those people. But I heard them quoting Christian slangs, calling on God. Because you see, that's what your colonializers will do to you. They will give you empty religion, empty words and phrases, without really enjoining people to trust the God that created them. As I watched the Haitians, God bless their hearts, I thought about a scripture, and that scripture said, "Be still and know that I am God." The whole community was not still. They were running. It was chaotic. And that is the way our children look in this country today, full of chaos. They can't stay home on a Friday night and just have a Coke and a hot dog with their friends. They have to go to Hollywood here in Los Angeles. They have to go to the club. Now they have roaming groups of young men that go out there and jump the kids and bust the party and beat them up. For what reason? For no reason. Mayhem. Fighting. They have competition things where they talk about each other's parents, grandparents, tearing down all the normalcies of communion of family life. We've lost it all. Now, this sermon was preached back in 1997. I sound angry. Now I am more calmed down because we are there. Let me shut up and let you listen to the rest of this.
Say, young person, I love you.
Yeah.
I love it when you make the F's in school and the B's in school, because it may be that I messed your mind up.
That's right.
I love it, young person, when you can't quite understand what the educator is saying because your mind's been on hold for 6 weeks.
That's right.
Listen to me, young person, I love you. I'm also trying to communicate as your parent that in the past I've tried to establish this relationship that's needed in the present. Because it says, my son, do you know what that means? That means that I am wisdom, I am your father, I am your mother, I love you. And let me say this, if your parent does not come across to you like this, youngster, you are in deep, dire trouble.
That's right. And the youngster would tell you today that they feel that they are in deep, dire trouble. I asked a young man about a week ago. I said, so you want to go to college? So you want to get a college education? He said, yeah, I do. And I said, is your parent and your grandparent behind you on this endeavor? Well, yeah, they say they are. I said, have they invested in you becoming a successful young man? What do you mean? Have they invested in you? Have you gone to them and told them, I would like to go to college and would you please help me do that? Because I want to take as many classes as I can. Listen to me. As many classes as I can, but I can't pay you rent and pay for this and do that if I'm going to get ahead in this day and age. Young man said, that's all he could say. And I said, will they support you? I tell people, I say, you know what? For years, I've supported the young brothers come by my way. I don't have too much to support them with now. But that's what I did. Now, I wasn't trying to get no crowns in my, no stars in my crown and stuff like that. I just did it because young black men need a helping hand. Ain't nobody helping nobody. Just like those Haitians I saw. Ain't nobody helping them. So when I look at America now and I see all these, oh yeah, after I do this webcast, I got to turn on the computer and see if that storm hit Hawaii. I want to see how many of those nice hotels and resorts and those island things. Man, drown them. Tear it up. Everybody's thinking about going to Hawaii this summer, right? Not now. See, America has to figure its way out. Let's continue to listen to this discourse. I'm enjoying it as I listen. How do you turn it back on? There it is.
They'll stop everything when you walk in the room.
Right.
And pause, you are in trouble.
Did you hear that? Whenever your child walks in the room and wants to talk with your parents, you need to pause and give your child some attention. Hey, mama, can I talk with you? No, boy, get out of my face. You like your daddy. I don't even want to hear your voice. Wait a minute. That boy wanted to talk with you because he's getting up there and he wants to sell some of those methamphetamines or whatever that mess is. One young man told me that if you sell a couple of pills, you can get $40. I said, what? On pain pills? $40. How come you're not in school? Well, you're not helping him. But I see you driving that Mercedes. I see you bought the new curtains for the house. I saw you put in a brand new kitchen. You didn't need the kitchen. You didn't need the stove. You didn't need nothing. But one of your friends got in and you put that mess in there and sacrificed your daughter's life. Oh, yeah. Let's put the blame where it belongs. And guess what these folk do? They go to church every Sunday and say, thank you, Jesus, and jump up and down and shake their booties all over the floor. You know what? I don't have time for that mess. Y'all need to stop lying. Lost our children completely.
And problems making it for the rest of your life.
Yes.
I, as a wise parent, I advise the younger to do something. For look at Proverbs 3:1b. I say to my children, but let your heart keep my commandments. Now, I say this because they were given to me by another. I've kept them. I know it's good for me. If you keep them, it's going to be good for you.
Right.
So therefore, since I've kept his, you will keep mine.
That's right. That's right.
I guarantee that you never get shot.
Uh-huh.
I guarantee that you'll never get on dope.
Right.
I guarantee that you'll never get pregnant or make somebody pregnant.
Right.
I guarantee that you will never steal.
Right.
I guarantee that you won't be a success because you don't keep my commandments.
That's right.
You don't listen to the teacher. You don't listen to the neighbor. You listen to me because I love you.
That's the spirit of the preacher talking right there. That's the spirit of the preacher. That's not John Coleman. Forget John Coleman. Forget this Negro. That was the spirit of the... Y'all don't know what I go through here in this studio. When I listen to this stuff, and I said this stuff all those years ago, I said, oh my God, listen to me. That's the spirit of God speaking through the preacher to your heart. You know, people used to get up and walk out on me. I didn't care.
And you will keep my commandments because I keep his.
Yeah.
And if I don't keep his, don't you listen to me. Now that's the way I talk to those that I love. I don't walk around with young folk all messed up. I'm wisdom. I love you. You will listen to me. They're my statements. That's my life. And you will do what I tell you to do because I know what's best for you.
Now, you know what? Oh, let me keep preaching.
I don't play with it. I don't play with it. Young person, don't you forsake my direction.
That's right.
Don't you forsake my direction. Because I'm not confused. Wisdom is never confused.
See, that's what they've done to people like me today. They would say, you hear that man screaming like that? Because I know a lot of people come to my website and they tell their friends to go there. And they say, man, was John crazy? No, 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 no. You listen to the Spirit of God speak through the spirit of the preacher. That's the way preachers preached years ago in this country. That's why years ago in this country, you didn't find all these strange, spurious kind of religions coming up. Young man asked me, don't you want to go to my church with me one Sunday morning? I said, what's going on? Oh, we have a nice praise band, and the band is playing, and everybody's singing all, and we hugging, and we rocking to the left and rocking to the right. And I said, first of all, my hip hurts. I ain't got no time to be standing up dancing in no church with nobody. And what is the subject matter? What do you mean? I said, why is everybody standing up? You're supposed to sit down, open up that Bible, and open up your mind. Oh, my, not today.
All wisdom is looking for is a real good fight.
Right.
Now, I fight for you. And you won't make it because you won't do what I told you to do.
That's right.
Because that's what love is all about.
That's right.
This ain't about me trying to stop you from having some fun.
Uh-huh.
Because you don't find out when you grow up that being grown ain't no fun.
That's right.
You just ask some of these grown folks around here what being grown is some fun. Because showing up being grown ain't no fun. Oh no, but if you listen to my instruction, I'm going to take care of you because that's my job.
See, the people were clapping in there because they saw that the Spirit of God had just shrouded me. The people was in shock. They were saying, what's wrong with you? They said, what's wrong? They were saying, I remember this moment now. They were saying, what's wrong with John? Are we going to have to call the paramedics? He didn't move from one plateau to the next. I mean, I was, ooh.
Wouldn't it be strange, my young children, If I was a parent, would not talk to you this way. Wouldn't you be diabolical if I would speak to you in any other way but this? Wouldn't it be something crazy if I approach your life from the vantage point of weakness? No, I know what I'm talking about, and you won't follow me because I said it. And I'll even let you question me.
Yeah.
Because that's a part of your maturation process. I want you to use your mind, question me.
Ah, yes, 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 yes.
Young person, I speak to you like this because I'm giving you the emphasis of caution. I'm telling you something that's important. I don't want you to forget it. I said to keep it in your heart. Don't forget this. Because when you go to school tomorrow, there's going to be some mess out there. Oh, girl, when you go to school, it's a fine body. And your limited thinking mind. Well, they don't want to hear, sweetheart, what you're thinking. They're looking at that fine body of yours, how they can just use it and abuse it. I'm your parent. That fine body is fine because you came from me. You got to be fine because I'm fine. The fine things don't throw itself in the gutter. You fine because you shine into the one that created you. Now, when somebody come and try to take what's fine and then make it theirs, which would be mine or thine, you in trouble if you do not belong to him. Hey, I'm telling you what's foundational, young person. Young people, 10, and I know the way you are, you remember those, you don't remember those things that you should never forget. But I'm telling you right here, you my son, you're not going to forget my teaching. And listen, let your heart keep my commandments. And that's what you're going to do as long as I'm your parent. I'm the wise parent. I do understand those that are entrusted to my care. And you are mine. You're not your own. You're in my house. You are mine. I will tell you when to leave and when to come back. Because I am wisdom. I will tell you what they're after and what they're trying to get out of you.
Well, now, and then the tape stopped because it was going to side two. But I think you've heard enough. What I was doing there is putting the onus on the parent for the child. For those of you that have the guts enough to set through this, and I think I better, you know, put a little bit more music on because y'all need to hear some music after listening to that, don't you? That's some hard stuff, isn't it? But it really isn't. It has been a joy to listen to this kind of message. Let me end up with this. Wait a minute. First, I have to set up here, and then I want to find the number that I want to play for you, because we need some breathing room after that. Often I preach like that in the church that I was in, and that was one of the reasons why they had to figure out what they were going to do. Ah, yes, I think I'll play number 4 on this Willie Jones III album. The album is called The Next Phase, if you want to look at it, because the number that I want to play is called Family. Family. And so I'm going to key that in right now, and I'm going to play this, and I will be back to close this out after this number. So let's listen to Family, and then I'll take a breath from listening to all that I said. Willie Jones Trio.
piano, Deron Douglas on the bass,
you for coming to my website and listening to me. Try to capture what I'm trying to put in your minds, because you know, I think that all of us are smart enough to know that each of us have an obligation, and if we live out that obligation as we live from day to day in front of the people that we come in contact with, we can be of a great advantage to them. 1 hour and 17 minutes on this cast. Well, my heart must be getting stronger, because I am doing longer webcasts now. And I got to tell you the truth. I thought that at 74, I'd be slowing this thing down. I just turned on the computer, and I'm looking at a scene on one computer here of Hawaii. It's flooded. It's flooded. That's costing money. And all these weather patterns and everything else like that, you know, God must be trying to get our attention in some kind of way. Well, thank you for coming to my website. I've enjoyed this time together with you. And you know the drill. Stay in the Word of God. Tell your friends about it. And to my new friend George and to your lovely wife, thank you for coming to my website. I hope you can listen to it as often as you can. Bye-bye.